Title of our message this morning is Praying with Power, and we are looking at Romans 15, verses 30 to 33. In a small Texas town, a bar began construction on a new building to increase their business. In response, the local Baptist church started a campaign to block the bar from opening with petitions and many prayers. Work progressed right up till the week before the opening when lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. Oh, it gets better. After losing his building, the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his building. Okay, the bartender is suing the church because, in his mind, the church is ultimately responsible for lightning striking that building. Okay, hold on. No. That's not the punchline. The church vehemently denied all the responsibility in its reply to the court. Think about that for just a second. After looking at all the facts, the judge commented, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this, because it appears to me that we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that does not." Father God, Lord Jesus, we do love you so much, and we thank you, Jesus, that you would bless our lives by giving us your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you would bless our lives by coming down and dying on that tree and then rising again on the third day. We thank you, Jesus, for all you do and all you give. And Lord, we just ask this morning that you'd speak to each one of our hearts in a new and amazingly powerful way. And all God's people said, amen. So I was thinking, scary thing, does prayer really have power? And so I'm going to throw that back at you guys. Do we believe in the power of prayer? Does your practice of prayer affirm that God unleashes his power when you pray? Do you believe that? Last week, we learned that God's purposes prevail even when our plans might not. This morning, though, I want to look at four verses from Romans chapter 15, verses 30, 31, 32, and 33. And I'm praying that we will discover that God's power is unleashed when we pray. It's my prayer this morning that today's scripture on prayer will encourage and motivate and propel us to pray with power. Romans 15, verses 30 to 33, the Bible says, "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen." So, to help us prepare to allow this package to percolate within us. And those of you who are young don't know what that word means, but those of you who are older, percolating coffee. I want to make a few observations. First of all, this is a powerful prayer request, or personal powerful prayer request. This is a personal powerful prayer request. Paul uses the pronouns I, me, and my 7 times in that prayer. The second observation is that Paul is committed to the community of believers. He's committed to the church. He's committed to the people in the community who are believers in Jesus Christ as well. He calls them brothers, and he asks them to join him in his struggle, verse 30. In verse 32, he expresses his desire to come to them, and the Bible says, and together they would be refreshed. And then in verse 33, he pronounces a benediction of peace on them. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. Third observation is that all three members of the Trinity are mentioned here, all in verse 30, where the Bible says, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit, praying to God. This is a personal prayer request. Paul is committed to the community of believers. All three members of the Trinity are mentioned. And observation number four is that the first three characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are listed here as well. Love is linked to the Spirit in verse 30. Joy jumps out in verse 32. And peace is found in verse 33. And if you want to, you can look back in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and see that be affirmed there as well. So as we begin this morning to look at this passage, I want us, and by us I mean really all of us, to understand the text and then to look for ways to put it into context so that Paul's practice of prayer can be something that we practice as well. Diligently, honestly, faithfully, relentlessly, always praying. Diligently, honestly, faithfully, relentlessly, always praying. This morning, I'm going to look at three facts about prayer that I think we need to hold on to, just three. Number one, prayer is a struggle. Prayer is a struggle. Folks, if you're waiting for prayer to come easy to you, you're going to be waiting a long time. Let's take a look at verse 30 where the Bible says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. The beginning words show us that Paul has to urge us. Paul has to urge us, which means to exhort or call into service. This same phrase is used back in chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul pleads with us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord, Romans 12, 1. And notice also that Paul is once again all about giving Jesus Christ the glory, the Bible says, by our Lord Jesus Christ. This can be translated also for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul's also motivated by the love of the Spirit. When we pray, folks, it's a really good idea to ask ourselves if our requests are for the sake of our Savior and motivated by the love of the Holy Spirit. Are our prayers for the sake of the Savior and motivated by the love of the Spirit? Or to say it a different way, when we consider what Christ has done and what the Spirit is doing now, how can we not but pray? How can we skip prayer time? Well, Paul was a pioneer and a prolific church planner. Paul knew that he couldn't function alone. He needed others to intercede for him. As we see in the phrase, the Bible says, join me. He calls on them, the believers in Jesus Christ, to partner with him in his struggle. And it's interesting that the word translated struggle here is used in both athletic and military spheres and is translated as fight in John 18, verse 36. How many have ever thought of prayer as a fight? And this comes from the same root word from where we get the English word agony. It comes from the same root that we get the English word agony from. How many of you have been in agony when you've prayed? It's the same word, folks, used of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22, verse 44, when Jesus was in anguish. And interestingly, while he's doing battle in prayer, Jesus, his followers fell asleep. We're a lot like that, aren't we? Folks, I believe that prayer is a struggle on at least two different fronts. What we strive against and what we strive with God about. What we strive against and what we strive with God about. First of all, what we strive against. Folks, there's a whole bunch of things to do that do battle against our ability to intercede in prayer. Specifically, that list would include, but not is not limited to, self. Matthew 26, verse 41, the Bible says, the Spirit is willing, but the body or the flesh is weak. We get in our own way. Secondly, sin. Psalm 66, verse 18, the Bible says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And finally, the third example is Satan. Ephesians 6, verse 12, the Bible says, for our struggle is against the power of darkness. Ephesians 6, 12. That's what we're striving against. Now let's look about what we strive with God about. Folks, the actual act of interceding is a battle itself. One of the best examples of the Old Testament is pictured vividly in Genesis 32, verse 24 to 29, where we read that Jacob wrestled with God in order to get a blessing. Jacob went out and all night wrestled with the angel of the Lord. That would be Jesus. Because he wanted a blessing. It went all night. You would think the Lord would be able to knock Jacob out and be done with it. Went on all night. And in the morning, the Lord touched his Achilles tendon, most people think. And Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life. My New Testament hero, though, is an intercessor who you may not have heard of. His name is Epaphras. And he was known in Colossians 4, verse 12, as a man who was, the Bible says, always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Epaphras is in Colossians 4, verse 12. Folks, let us not, as individuals or as a body, be like the prayerless people described in Isaiah 64, verse 7, where the Bible says, no one calls on your name or strives to lay hold on you. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. No one's praying. That's scary. I'm challenged by something a gentleman named Russell Moore said. He wrote this. He said, one of the first ways you can tell that you are moving beyond temptation into a pattern of sin is if you find yourself in a time of prayerlessness. If you are reluctant to pray, it just might be that you, like Adam and then Israel before you, are hiding in the vegetation, ashamed to hear the rustling of the leaves that signal that the Lord is here. Prayer is a struggle. Second fact about prayer this morning is prayer should be specific. Prayer should be specific. Paul's not interested in ethereal prayers. He's not interested in prayers that just kind of run on and aren't detailed at all. He wants us to know exactly what to pray for. He wants us to know exactly what to pray for, verses 31 and 32. And well, there's a lot of different things we could pray for in the Bible. This passage gives us three specific requests that we can incorporate into our own times of intercession, into our own times of prayer. Pray for safety, pray for success, and pray for satisfaction. And we're going to take a minute to look at each one of those. First of all, pray for safety. And we see this in the first part of verse 31, where the Bible says, pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. Paul knew that he was about to go into a very dangerous situation, so he asked the Roman believers to pray for his protection. And he made a very similar request in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2, where the Bible says, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. Folks, when you pray for others, pray for both their spiritual and their physical safety. When you pray for others, pray for both their spiritual and their physical safety. Secondly, pray for success. In the last part of verse 31, Paul specifically asked for success. The Bible tells us, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. This was a real concern to Paul, folks, because some of the Jewish background believers were suspicious of the Gentile background believers. And as a result, he requested that they pray, the Jews pray that his ministry offering would be successful. I think that's good for us to pray for other people as well. Pray for their success. Pray that they have victory. Friday night when Sarah came into the living room and she was freaking out about that test, talked to her for a second. She went back and worked on it. But while she was walking out of the room, I talked to the Lord. It was simple. I said, Lord, calm her down. Help her to think clearly. Bring back those words. And Lord, here's basic. Help the computer work. I mean, sometimes things you lose, all of a sudden, there they are. No idea why. Don't care. That didn't happen. She had to do it again. But those little prayers were specific, and they were for the success of another person. And we are encouraged to pray not only for our own success, not only for our family's success, but for the success of other people as well. So for safety, for success, and third, pray for satisfaction. Kind of an interesting one, right? Once again, we see that Paul wants God's way and God's will, wants God's way and God's will to be accomplished. And he knows that if he's able to come to see them, he will find great satisfaction. Come to see the folks in Rome. Check out verse 32. The Bible says, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The word refreshed is translated here as rest in Matthew 11, verse 28. Folks, Paul longs to spend time with them because he knows that he will rejoice with them and he knows that he will be refreshed by just being there. But ultimately, men and women, when God's will is accomplished, we'll be satisfied. John Piper said it this way, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I want to suggest that these requests are a good model for us as believers to follow. And I want us to try and see if we can get them in our brains, in our minds, in our hearts. Let's pray for safety, success, and satisfaction. You know, for example, if you're praying for safety, you can pray, thank you, Lord, for standing in the gap for me, or thank you, Lord, for standing in the gap for me and these people that I work with. Lord, please pray for my strength and perseverance. Every so often, I come under heavy attack. Pray for success. When we pray, as we should often, for both new believers and others that would come to the Lord, we might pray like this, but I ask you to pray on. There are other things that the enemy is doing in their lives to pull them away from the Lord. And finally, praying for satisfaction. Lord, oppression attempts to steal my joy and keep me from seeing the growth and the progress. Yesterday, I was talking to one of Sarah's teachers at the open house, and he looked at me and he basically said, I don't know if you know how hard that young lady works. I don't know if you know how powerful her example is in the classroom. Not at home. But you know what? I had no idea. And we need to pray that way. We need to pray that we will see growth and see progress. Because oftentimes when it's right here, we don't see it, right? Bill and Jan are going to go to California, and their five grandkids are not going to look the same as when they left California last time. If they were there, they would look just the same because you don't notice this as much when you're sitting right there. It's the same thing here. Sometimes we just pull our hair out because our prayers aren't working, and then you look later and you go, huh, she got an A on that paper. Thank you, God. When I got up yesterday, I used this exact outline to pray for each one of our kids and their significant others, Logan and Kay, Luke, and then Sarah and Jack. And it really helped me to focus on some specifics for each of the five of them instead of just asking God to bless them in some general way. And how often do we do that? Lord, bless Mike. What does that even mean? Lord, give Mike strength. Help him to lose the weight. Help him to have the surgery. Help him not to need the surgery. Help him to get back to his job, and on and on. Folks, moving ahead in your prayer life, I would encourage each one of us to pray this intercession out loud for a prodigal believer you may know, somebody who's run away. Or maybe pray it for a family member or for your pastor. How many of you ever wonder if and when your prayer requests are going to be answered and how they might be answered? It's interesting for us, I think, to think through how Paul's requests here were answered. And these answers, I think, are instructive and encouraging for each one of us as well. He prayed for safety. The answer that God gave was yes and no. Paul was rescued from three mobs and from a flogging and an attempted assassination, but he was also arrested, tried, and imprisoned. Acts 21 through 23. His prayer for success was answered yes. From all we can tell, Paul was able to deliver the offering and the believers found it acceptable. Acts 21 verse 17, the Bible says, "When we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly." That's nice. He got a yes. Prayer for satisfaction. The answer was wait. Paul eventually got to Rome, but he had to wait about 3 years, and the way he got there was not at all how he planned on getting there, because he came as a prisoner, he suffered a shipwreck, and then he was put back in prison when he got to Rome. That wasn't my plan. However, this prayer was eventually answered, as we can see in chapter 28, verse 15 of Acts. The Bible says, "The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled, many over a great distance, to meet us. And at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged." And a fourth prayer request that Paul had was he wanted to go to Spain. And as far as we can tell, the answer he got to that was no. It's not specifically mentioned in this text, and we know from verse 24 that he had planned to go to Spain, but as far as we know from the scripture, he never got there. Now, God doesn't tell us everything. The Bible even tells us if all the things that Jesus had done were written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world. So maybe Paul got to Spain. We don't know for sure, but the Bible does not tell us that, so we're going to go with God said no to this specific prayer request. And folks, that's the way it is for all of us, right? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. Or sometimes he's bipolar, yes and no. There you go. We just need to be prepared for all of those answers and understand that it is his will, and his will is better than any will we've got. So, prayer is a struggle. Prayer should be specific. And number three this morning, prayer steadies us. Prayer steadies us. Folks, when we remember number one, struggle in prayer, and when we're number two, specific with our prayers, no matter how our intercession is answered, we can experience the peace that passes all understanding, no matter how the prayer is answered. We can experience the peace that passes all understanding. And this happens, folks, because we once again settled the great truth that God is in control, and that in and of itself should steady us. Do I like everything that happens in my life and in the lives of my family? Not a chance. Do I rest at peace knowing that God's got this? Excuse me. I try very hard to do that. Verse 33, I believe, is really a great benediction, or maybe a blessing. The Bible tells us, "The God of peace be with you all." Amen. I think we can count on these three things when we pray. And we're wrapping up with this. These three things when we pray. First of all, we can count on God's peace. I love the title, the God of peace. And in the Old Testament, we read that he is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And folks, when we have peace with God, we are then given the peace of God from the God who is himself peace. When we have peace with God, we are given the peace of God from the God who is himself peace. Second thing we can gain from these prayers is God's presence. Folks, God is with you. God is with you, even when it seems like he's not. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go looking for him because he's always with you and he will never, never means never, leave you or forsake you. God's peace, God's presence, and the third result is God's power. And I get that from the word amen, which actually literally means so be it or it is so. Folks, it's our way, or it should be our way, of leaving it in God's hands to do only what he can do, to do what only he can do. In the Old Testament, the word was used to confirm a covenant or an oath. He, God, shows his power when we admit that we are powerless. How many of you like admitting that? Who knows when or where lightning will strike? Not me. A couple years ago, I was in work leading a group, and lightning struck the parking lot about 25 feet from the room where I was teaching. The thunder was a titch on the loud side. The building shook. If I would have known lightning was going to strike right there, I probably would have had groups someplace else. But we don't know that. God knows where the lightning will strike. So we know that God's power is unleashed when we pray. If we are praying and leaving it in God's hands, if we are praying the way the Bible tells us we need to pray, God's power will be unleashed. We've been reminded that we're always urged to come back to the cross. We're always urged to come back to the cross. Because God promises that because of the cross, he will hear and answer our prayers. We have to remember Jesus, folks. We have to remember what he did for us when he died for us, when he died in our place on that cross in our behalf. Folks, if you haven't yet repented from your sins, if you haven't yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do it. Now'd be a good time. The Lord loves us so much, and the Lord walks with us every single day, and the Lord wants our lives to be given to him, to his glory. And men and women, that starts with spending time with him in prayer. And all God's people said, and may God's kingdom come.